Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Dürr Preliminary Figures 2010 conference call. For your information, today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Ralf Dieter, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Tom. This is Ralf Dieter speaking. My colleague Ralf Horving and myself would like to welcome you to the Dürr conference call on our preliminary 2010 results. Since our preliminary numbers we will present to you today are very stable, we decided not to have an analyst call when we publish our annual report on March 24th, but we will be pleased to answer any questions over the phone you might have about the annual report after it is published, as I said, on March 24th. I will start off by giving you a general overview of our results for the past year. Then Ralf Horving will go into the figures in more detail. And then afterwards we will talk about our strategy for the next years and we will share with you our view about the market environment and also our outlook. So we start with page number 4. We achieved the targets we set for 2010 and even exceeded them in most areas. That applies for our market and technology position as well as our financial performance. In many regions we were able to expand our market leadership, benefiting here from our strong local presence in the growth markets. We leveraged our leading technological position with the successful launch of innovative products. All in all, we have emerged strengthened from the financial and economic crisis as we hoped for. At €1.64 billion, incoming orders were considerably above our expectations. Sales revenues for the full year came in at €1.26 billion, up 17% year over year. Revenues in the service business were up 38% to a level of €360 million, which was almost back to the pre-crisis level. The service business contribution to group sales increased to 29%. EBIT came in at €34 million after €6 million the year before, so we achieved the strong improvement in earnings as we had forecast. After a loss of €26 million in 2009, earnings after tax came to €7 million last year. So we overperformed our target to have at least a black zero. Therefore, we will propose in our shareholder meeting a dividend of 30 cents per share for 2010. This should underline our confidence in our business development in 2011 and beyond. As expected, cash flow from operating activities did not match the previous year's level, but at €55 million was well into positive territory and above budget. On page number 5, you can see that the fourth quarter was, as always, by far the strongest quarter of the year. Incoming orders were up 60% and sales revenues were up 54%. EBIT improved strongly by €21 million year over year to €19 million. Cash flow reached the very high year-earlier level. Page 6 shows the development of incoming orders since the low point in Q4 2008. We included letters of intent too, which have also risen strongly over that period. Letters of intent usually lead to orders 1 to 2 quarters later after the final negotiations of the contracts. At the end of the year, we had letters of intent worth €252 million. Order intake averaged to €411 million per quarter in 2010. That was slightly above the pre-crisis level of €406 million in average. On page number 7, you can see that our order backlog reached a very high level of almost €1.4 billion at the end of 2010. That is equivalent to a reach of 13 months of sales. About 65% of the order backlog will feed through in sales revenues in 2011. The quality of the orders is slightly improving compared with the year earlier. On page 8 shows the breakdown of sales revenues and incoming orders. The importance of the emerging markets has increased again compared to 2009. €992 million, or 60% of the orders, came from the emerging markets. That is 63% more than in 2009. We doubled our order intake in Brazil, in India, and China. China was by far the largest single market, accounting for 36% of the group's incoming orders. But business also picked up in North America, where orders were up 47%, but compared to a low level in 2009. Growth was lowest in Europe, where orders were up 5%. Order intake in Germany matched the previous year's level. The distribution of sales revenues follows the pattern of incoming orders with a time lag of 12 to 15 months. Now we'll hand over to Ralf Heuwing, who will step through our financials and cash flow statements. Ralf.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will continue on page 9. Our revenue trajectory showed a strong acceleration quarter by quarter. The first quarter marked the low point with sales of 230 million euros. Q4, in contrast, reached sales of 407 million euros, an increase of 54% year over year. Cost of sales, mainly materials and personnel expenses, rose more strongly than sales in 2010. Accordingly, gross margin slipped from 19.6% in 2009 to 18.8%. The second half of the year was affected by the completion and billing of lower margin orders that had been taken on in the face of tough competition in 2009. At 18%, the gross margin was therefore lower in the second half than in the first half. The strong increase in the higher margin service business had a positive effect on gross profit. All in all, gross profit was up 26 million euros to 237 million euros on the back of growth in sales. Selling, general and administrative expenses increased only slightly in 2010, despite rising labor costs, and in relative terms fell to 14.1% from 16.4% of sales the year before. R&D spending was held at the high previous level of 26 million euros. Personnel expenses were up 2.8% to 346 million euros. The number of permanent group employees increased by 3.6% to 5,915 at the end of 2010. On a comparable basis, in other words, adjusted for acquisition-related first-time consolidation, the increase was only 2.3%. The balance of other operating income and expenses came to 0.8 million euros and had little impact on earnings. The same holds true for restructuring costs, which showed a positive balance of 0.9 million euros. Set against the higher gross profit, the increase in overhead costs was small. Accordingly, we achieved a strong improvement in EBIT from 6 million euros in 2009 to 34 million euros in 2010. EBITDA improved by a similar scale, reaching 52 million euros after 26 the year before. Although net financial debt was lower on average than in 2009, the financial result was down 3 million to minus 21 million euros. This was partly due to one-offs of 0.7 million euros for the early redemption of our old bond issued in 2004, and partly due to adjustments of our syndicated loan in 2009, costs that are spread over the term of the loan. Earnings before the taxes were up 25 million euros to 12.5 million. The strong decline in tax expense from 13.5 to 5.4 million euros is mainly due to two factors. Whereas in 2009, the write-off of deferred taxes had resulted in an exceptional charge of 7.9 million euros, in 2010, on the contrary, we capitalized 4.4 million euros of deferred taxes due to the much better earnings outlook. Let's move now to page 11 on the cash flow statement. Cash flow from operating activities was comfortably positive at 55 million euros, benefiting from the strong improvement in earnings and from 32 million euros of funds released from the net working capital. It did, however, not reach the previous year's exceptionally high level of 95 million euros, which, as you remember, was marked by a sharply reduced volume of business and an according release of working capital. In 2010, the high prepayments from customers at the end of the year had a very positive effect on the net working capital. The free cash flow of 23 million euros was mainly responsible for the improvement in our net financial status to +24 million euros. Now we move to page 12. Net working capital declined by 30 million euros to 27, as the prepayments received reported under the trades payable increased more strongly than the inventories and trade receivables. Net working capital was equivalent to only 2% of sales as of the reporting date, compared with 5% at the end of 2009. Days working capital, which indicates the average time it takes to convert working capital into sales revenue, reached a new low of only 8 days. Our target figure, however, for days working capital is actually in the range of 20 to 25 days. On the other hand, the strong growth in receivables caused average days sales outstanding to rise to 112 days. On page 13, you see that taken together, our factoring and forfeiting level has settled in the normal operating range of about 10 to 20 million euros and is currently only of minor relevance for our financing and cash flow. So let's move to page 14. Equity increased by 18 million euros to 319 million at the end of 2010. Besides the net income of 7 million euros, the other main contributing factor here were currency translation gains of 14 million euros that are recognized directly in the equity position. At 26%, the equity ratio was lower than a year earlier, where it was 31%. This was due to the growth of the balance sheet. We expect the equity ratio to improve again in 2011 due to the higher earnings as well as a normalization of prepayments, and thus a lower balance sheet total. Cash and cash equivalents amounted to 252 million euros at the end of the year. This is due to the bond issue and the positive free cash flow. So we have a comfortable finance position for the opportunities that come our way. ROCE was almost back to double digits already. On page 15 and 16, you see an overview of our work in progress and progress billings that shows the payment balance with our customers is essentially unchanged compared to the previous year. The prepayments from customers reporting on the liability side were exceptionally high at 273 million euros as of the balance sheet date. There will be future receivables from contracts set against these liabilities on the asset side. Consequently, it would be misleading if these prepayments were viewed in isolation. The balance of future receivables from contracts and customer prepayments was minus 52 million euros as of 31st December 2010, unchanged from a year earlier. This amount, which represents customers' pre-financing of contracts, will lead to future cash outflows and an increase in net working capital. I will finish off my part on page 17 with a few words on our funding measures. Our bond issues in September and December last year secures our financing until September 2015 on much improved terms. This will enable us to improve our financial result from 2011 onwards by 4 to 5 million euros, although the bond volume is significantly higher than before. At the end of the year, we had unused cash credit lines of 80 million euros under the syndicated loan agreement and a cash position of 252 million euros. We are in the process of renewing the syndicated loan agreement with the banks in the next few weeks on better terms. I now hand back to Ralf Dieter, who will highlight our strategy going forward.
Yeah, thank you, Ralf. Ladies and gentlemen, let me show you an overview that I presented at our management meeting recently. Many statements on page 18 made by experts in the automobile industry during the crisis are now no longer valid, just 18 months later. Let me pick a few statements from the table on page 18 to illustrate this. Many markets experts believed that there would be a long period of stagnation ahead. The reality is that growth after the crisis will be higher than before the crisis. Another thesis was that growth would be limited only to the BRIC countries. But BRIC and the NAFTA will contribute equally to growth through to 2015. Another thesis was that customers will stay away from premium cars, but the share of premium cars is growing thanks to the BRIC countries. In the e-mobility field, a common thesis was that e-vehicles will converge globally, but we will see further proliferation with growing prevalence and their specific needs. The last thesis I want to mention was that the final round of OEM consolidation would start due to the crisis. But now experts believe the number of large OEMs will increase and with brick OEMs gaining importance. Let's move to page 19. Our strategy during 2010, we further developed during last year. Growth and optimization will continue to be the cornerstones of our strategy going forward. We are focusing on three levers for profitable growth of our company. First, further expansion of our core business in the emerging markets. Second, keeping the pace of our efforts in innovation. And third, diversification into new but related business areas. In this context, we have created a new division for energy efficiency. I will comment on in a minute. On page 20, you can see that in the past quarters, we have received an increasing number of requests for quotations from OEMs for new plants, as well as for revamps for existing plants. Mostly, they have been for the emerging markets, but also for the NAFTA area again and Europe. This is backed by a recent study by PwC. Automobile production grew by 7 million units in the five-year period from 2005 to 2020. In the period from 2010 to 2015, it is estimated that automobile production will increase by 23 million units. So capacities are expected to go slightly lower, which implies a calculatory need for more than 100 paint shops through the year 2015. Page 21 shows the long-term trend for the global automobile market. The figures are from Global Insight and BCG. Aside from stronger growth since the crisis, there's one other important message. The global automobile market is seen to be much less cyclical than it's generally assumed. And apart from the crisis in 2008-2009, the automobile market has grown steadily. Through our strategic realignment since 2005, we have positioned ourselves where the growth is expected and happening in the emerging markets. Page 22. 17 million more passenger cars are expected to be produced in the emerging markets by the year 2015, creating a need for additional new capacities. We are systematically building on our leading competitive position in China and other emerging markets. We plan that by 2013, more than 30% of our workforce will be employed in the emerging markets. We have already raised the level from 14% to 27% between 2005 and 2010. Over that period, the number of permanent employees in China has grown from about 350 in 2005 to more than 700 in 2010. If we include hired external labor, there are already about 1,000 people working for us in China today. We are also doubling again our office and factory capacities in China, with a total space of more than 40,000 square meters being created at two locations in Shanghai as we speak. Just for your comparison, the space we have here at our headquarters in Bietigheim, which is so far the largest location so far, is 57,000 square meters. So China is soon the second largest location of Dürr in the world. The chart on page 23 shows the potential China could have. Currently, there are 5 automobiles per 1,000 population in China, and according to the IMF, the country's per capita income in dollar terms was US$7,500 in 2010. Countries such as Brazil or Mexico currently have a per capita GDP of about $11,000 and $14,000, and the penetration ratio is in the region of 15%. If these levels were reached in China in 2015, the current production forecast for 2015 of about 21 million light vehicles would be far too low. Page 24 shows why we are so successful in the emerging markets. We entered the markets very early on and established our first foreign location in Brazil already 47 years ago. We have been operating in Mexico for more than 45 years and in China for more than 27 years. We have had our own local presence in India for over 20 years. So we want to achieve as much local content as possible in the respective countries. And in China, for instance, we can source 70 to 100% of a contract locally. Page 25 compares the development of incoming orders with the number of employees over the past 5 years. In the merchant markets, order intake has tripled, and we have doubled our headcount in these countries. We continued increasing our headcount in China even during the crisis because we were convinced of the market potential, and we were right. At the same time, there has been a market decline in orders and capacities in Europe and North America. Let's move to page 26. We are looking systematically to diversify into new areas of activity that are related to our core business and offer good potential for profitable growth. We are concentrating on high-tech niches where our aim is to achieve market leadership. In our efforts to expand into new areas of activity, an important role is played by smaller acquisitions that round up our technology portfolio. Most of these companies do not have the capacity or capability to go global. With our own global distribution and service network, we can leverage their business immediately. In 2010, we laid the foundation for expanding into the gluing technology business with two acquisitions, Kleinmichl and Rickert. Now we have a full-line portfolio covering all gluing applications in the automobile production. Gluing technology is a growing business segment. This technology is replacing conventional joining methods in the body shop because it offers advantages in terms of body stiffness and cost, especially in lightweight constructions and new lightweight materials like composite, which can't be welded and have to be glued. Our customers are using gluing technology increasingly in the final assembly process too, for instance for windscreens or cockpit assembly. Gluing is also an application in other industries, for instance, in the manufacturing of solar panels and electrical and electronic components. Another example is battery technology as a new product segment, but with the foundation of our core skills. We have developed a production line for battery assembly and could secure a first order from a German OEM. We are also developing battery changing stations for Wetterblaze. The battery activities are still at an early stage and will not contribute to a significant sales volume in the near future, but it was important for us to enter into this field early to gain expertise and competitive advantage. On page 27, you can see that we have created a third division as from January 1st, 2011, the Clean Technology Systems Division, to increase the transparency of our activities in this area. Clean technology systems consist of two business segments. First, environmental and energy systems, which was previously part of the paint and assembly system division, will continue its core business of exhaust air purification and will also expand into new activities like organic Rankine cycle technology to transform hot exhaust air into electrical energy. The new energy technology system business segment was set up on January 1st, to build the foundation for upcoming opportunities, for example, in the fields of heat exchanger and absorption refrigeration technologies to be acquired. By building up the energy efficiency activities, we are creating another lever for further growth. There are three arguments for pursuing this new business. First, existing expertise. Through our successful activities in exhaust air purification, we have accumulated experience and technology know-how in recovering energy from industrial exhaust air. Second, existing core competencies. With our global resources in engineering and project management, we have the relevant core competencies to expand our energy efficiency activities. And third, we see a future market growth. Rising energy prices and the growing trend towards resource conservation mean that high growth rates are expected in future for technologies that increase energy efficiency. Let's move to page 28 and have a review on our shareholder structure, which had some prominent changes in the recent months. The Dürr family is still the largest shareholder with just under 32%, and the Atom Group has reduced its shareholding from 25% to less than 10%, materializing a successful investment in Dürr. The positive effect is that increases the free float, which is now over 53%. This certainly improves the liquidity of the Dürr stock and this should make our stock attractive for new investor groups for whom the stock's free float and turnover was previously too low. Let's move to the outlook on page 29, where our view of the outlook for our business in 2011 and beyond is positive. Especially in Asia, Eastern Europe, and South America, there should be continued strong demand for automobile plants. In North America, we mainly expect revamp and optimization projects at the existing plants, but also some new plants. In 2011, sales are expected to increase by at least 15% to around 1.45 billion. This is supported by the high order backlog and the continued strong demand of our customers. Our business segments should contribute to the sales growth. And after the exceptionally high order intake in 2010, we expect growth of about 5% in incoming orders to 1.7 billion level in 2011. That means order intake would still exceed sales, so order backlog at the end of 2011 should rise to around 1.6 billion. The upward trend in earnings should continue in 2011. The higher capacity utilization and volume and cost degression effects should result in a significant EBIT improvement and an EBIT margin of 3.5 to 4%. And for 2013, we aim for an EBIT margin of 6%. So, ladies and gentlemen, before inviting you to place your questions, I would like to draw a short conclusion. 2010 turned out much better than we had expected. After a modest start, business picked up considerably. Incoming orders reached 540 million in Q4, and we had letters of intent worth 252 million at the end of the year. And therefore, we will propose a dividend of 30 cents per share at the annual shareholder meeting. The automotive industry will grow more strongly in the next 5 years than it did over the past 5 years, and therefore we expect also a recovery of the North American market to some extent. Dürr's growth strategy is based mostly on three pillars: expansion and further expansion in the emerging markets, technology-based acquisitions, and the build-up of new business activities such as battery production or energy efficiency. For 2011, we expect a continuation of the upward trend with sales growth of at least 15%, and this I already mentioned, and the strong EBIT growth to 3.5 to 4%. And the group is solidly positioned, and as Ralf lined out, fully financed through to September 2015. Our net financial status is positive, and we have 80 million of unused credit lines and a cash position of 252 million. So that's as a summary, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you very much for your attention so far. And now we are happy to answer your questions, and I would like to hand over to Tom.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question today, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is disabled, or we will not receive your signal. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, that will be star 1 on the telephone keypad. Our first question today comes from Stefan Augustin from BHF Bank. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Well, my first question, or exactly my only question this the beginning, is on your EBIT margin outlook for 2011. It seems a little bit conservative to me. If I look at your gross margin, I would expect from the wording in the past to grow, because you have worked off your low margin orders partially, and especially the measuring and process system had a very good order intake, and I would expect sales to grow, let's say, over proportionally here, and it has historically been the higher margin division. You also say that that the business is continuing to be good, so I would expect that pricing is currently not the biggest issue here. From your guidance of the sales, you should, like, in gross margins level, roughly achieve, well, an additional 40 million euro in EBIT. So you must have concerns about a couple of headwinds, and I would be glad if you could explain those to me.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Augustin, for your question. First of all, I appreciate your optimism about our return on sales. But there's one assumption which is not totally correct. We still have in the order backlog orders which are we received in the end of 2009 and first half of 2010, where we still had a very competitive field, and they will also feed through 2011. That's why we are not so optimistic on the gross margin as you are. And also the pricing, I said before, we see slightly improvements, but it's a slow process. Our customers are used to a price level of the crisis, and it's not easy to lift that overnight. So we will see a longer process to recover on that. That's why we are guiding the 3.5 to 4%, which is by the far not so far away from the 2008 performance where we had a different situation.
Okay, and that maybe...
But we don't see headwinds. This basically is still the path to digest, you know.
Okay, so I assume fourth quarter measuring and process system is also an issue from the past, as you were able to grow sales quite significantly, but EBIT was actually lower on a year-over-year level. So is this still, let's say, moving into 2011 too? Should I be, let's say, well, less optimistic on your ability to grow EBIT margins in measuring and process system back to 2007-2008 levels in 2011 already?
You are right. The MPS division, machinery division, to digest the past is on a shorter term, which means I think we are getting out of that from the middle of 2011 onwards. But just to remind you on the historical level, our gross margin in 2008, which were a record year in terms of earnings, was 17.8%. In 2007, we had 16.3%. And we had 18.8 in 2010. So the gross margin level in 2010 was higher than our record year. So it's February. Let us go through the year, okay?
All right. Okay, but still, for measuring a process system, for 2011, it would also be too optimistic to look back at the margins of 2007 or 2008.
I think it's not too optimistic. It's possible. Yeah, I share your optimism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The fourth quarter measuring process system weakness, was that more as let's say balancing still has, let's say, a slower turnaround curve, as it was, let's say, late in falling into the crisis, and now is also a little bit later in coming out of it?
Okay, now you made out of one question a lot of, but I'm happy to answer. Listen, the balancing division did quite well last year, but don't forget they had the record year in 2009, so they were against the cycle. So the main issue came out of the cleaning business unit, cleaning and filtration, where we had also quite restructuring costs to reduce capacities. So, and I think the MPS division is mainly influenced by those results, which we will in 2011 see positive numbers.
Okay, thank you for answering my long question.
No problem, pleasure, yeah. Mr. Augustin.
Our next question today comes from Ingo Schackel from Commerzbank. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Three questions from my side. The first one also relating to the margin targets. I think you mentioned that innovation will be an important element of your growth strategy for the next years. Could you just briefly comment on where we should expect your R&D budget to go in the next years? Will it remain roughly stable, or is there any impact that we should see from that side? And secondly, with regards to the clean tech segment, which you now report separately, could you give us a feeling for the margins that this segment has had in 2010 and also what you would expect in the midterm? And maybe you could also, I'm not sure to what extent that's already possible, comment on if how exactly you plan to grow there, if you should think of that as an organic growth or if there could also be some M&A element to it, and if yes, what the sort of acquisition criteria here could be. The third question is relating to your dividend. I think with the exception of 2009, you've now surprised us positively in 2008 and 2010. So I was just wondering, as you have generated very strong cash flows in most of the last years, if we should maybe structurally regard a higher payout ratio than the 30% as realistic, or would you rather see that as a sort of one-off positive surprise here?
So your first question regarding the R&D budget, this has been already slightly increased and even kept on a high level in 2009. We increased it a little bit, and we see not here a strong increase. I see it more as a flat because we have a very high level of activity here, and we don't see that this will much increase. From the clean technology division, the existing business, which we have here now very transparent for you, as we are not reporting on business units, as you know, but today you look at the division, we talk about, I think it's 6% return on sales, 5% return on sales, with a chance to improve. And the growth will be based on acquisitions of small technology companies on one hand, and some organic growth in the areas I mentioned before based on our existing air purification business. But let's say the growth here comes from acquisition and to leverage those to a global level. So that will be not a fast mover, but we will report on that. That's why we made it transparent. And the expected margins here are higher. That's why we are doing it.
Okay, and is there anything you can say about the payout ratio that we expect going forward, if that's still around 30% in the next years? Or?
Yeah, I mean, our policy is 30 to 40%. Yeah, and obviously this year, for 2010, we chose to adopt a higher payout ratio because of the small net profit. But starting next year, we are looking to get back into that regular range of 30 to 40%.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Pleasure.
Our next question today comes from Jasko Terzic from DZ Bank. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. Some questions from my side. The first one is again on the gross margin. So am I right that the gross margins should more or less remain stable as there are still some weaker orders in your books? The second question pertains your guidance. Does your guidance is an organic assumption, or does it already include some minor acquisitions? And the third question pertains your competitive environment currently. It seems as if the environment is very favorable for you, so could you give us a flavor of how the competition currently is developing, how the price quality currently is, and maybe an indication of how your market share developed in the last fiscal year?
Okay, Mr. Tatschik, first of all, the gross margin, you should assume it will be stable in 2011. That's what we expect for the reasons mentioned. And by the way, it's already on a high level. The guidance assumes organic growth. Yeah, because when we will make acquisitions during this year, but to leverage them, that you see a significant growth number in terms of revenue here, that will be maybe then in the future, not 2011. Competitive environment, we don't want to comment too much on that, but the fact is that there are a lot of projects on the market, and what we are monitoring is for sure who has got what kind of business to understand what the loading is, and here we can say that the loading with our competition is also increasing, or let's say to a level where they are not anymore so desperate for orders as it has been competitive in 2009 and early 2010. But again, the price increase is a slow process because our customers try everything to stay on the level of 2009. We have here a lot of sales work to do, and we do it, and there's also understanding, but it will be a slow process. It's not a recovery overnight of 10% margin or so.
Okay, and your market share, do you could win further market share?
Well, it's different from business to business, but I think you always ask for the paint business. Here we can say that the market share globally is still around 40-50%, but in the emerging markets it's higher. We don't like to disclose it too much, but you can assume that in markets like China, our market share is significantly higher. And this is a result, that's a result of having available the capacity when it was needed and still needed.
And you don't really feel pressure in China due to competitor action to try to capture some market share here?
Sure, we always feel pressure and we always have strong competition, but in China the question is more now who has the capacity to do something. And when we have 1,000 people in China, our competitors have maybe 50 or 100 people, and that also determines how much work they can do and how much we can do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Sven Hintz from Berenberg. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. This is Sven Hintz from the fixed income side of Berenberg. Now, what my colleague regarded as a positive surprise for the equities in terms of a higher dividend is more of a negative surprise to us. So, given that you also guide for a lower cash flow in 2011, how do you actually plan to raise some money in order to repay the bond when it matures? Second question is regarding the 52 million work in progress. Do we still have to deduct that from the net cash position, or is that already included in the 23 million? And can you again give us some idea of how the operating lease liabilities are developing going forward?
Yeah, Ralf Heubing here. Thank you, Mr. Hintz. Well, first of all, on the dividend comment, if you multiply 17.3 million shares with the proposed payout of 30 cents, then the 5 million is reducing our equity base only very marginally by 1.5%. So I don't foresee a worsening situation for our bondholders because of that dividend payment. Secondly, and this is, I think, a connected question. The future cash negative cash flow of 50 million out of the, let's say, prepayment overhang, that is a process of normalizing in our balance sheet. So this 50 will flow out. It's it flow out in the future, so it's not included in our current numbers. Yeah. We can see it as a liability that that leads to a future cash flow, negative cash flow. But after that normalization, we plan, according to the earnings development, to further build cash in the company and improve our ability to repay the bond when it's due 4.5 years from now. So I don't foresee any issue on our ability to pay back that. And also keep in mind that we continue to have a healthy bank consortium whose borrowing to us or lending to us has been significantly reduced, but whose ability and willingness to lend to us will also increase in the future with improved earnings. So I would say our credit outlook should actually get stronger over time given the ratios that you can derive from our prognosis.
Can you maybe then give us an indication of your CapEx exposure for the next years?
And the normal CapEx has been in the range of 15 to 20 million euros. With some expansion in China, it may be at the higher end of that spectrum in the next years, but not much outside that range. And this is obviously before any acquisitions that we are planning, since all the guidance figures are without acquisitions.
Okay, but then I think I'm on the right track here, because 35 million, if I just interpret your graph correctly on page 29 of operating cash flow, minus 20 million CapEx minus some acquisitions, you're barely free cash flow positive, right?
That's our plan. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Although the fact that we haven't put a figure there means that we don't want to give a figure.
It's February.
And then on the third question that I had regarding the operating lease liabilities, can you elaborate on this?
I mean, the operate lease liabilities, we believe, will be stable over the next 3 years. We don't plan any new building projects. The expansions in China are basically rentals, so we don't build or do sale and lease back there. So nothing, no changes planned in the next 3 years.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Harold Remeth from LBBW. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, two quick follow-ups regarding margin. You said you expect the gross margin to be the same level in 2011 than in 2010. Should we expect in the first half a level of about the level we saw in last year, second half, and to increase in Q3? Is this a right assumption? And the second margin theme would be, again, MPS. You mentioned that balancing did quite well, and the main problem were cleaning and filtration due to restructuring. But normally we saw in the past, especially due to balancing in Q4, much stronger margin. So could you be a bit more precise? Is it a problem of prices or a problem of product mix? Why the margin was that low in Q4? These are the two first questions, and maybe we should start first with this.
Yeah, Mr. Remuth, Ralf Dieter speaking. Hello. The picture you gave for the gross margin development, that picture we could join in. So we expect that in the second half we see improvement. Regarding the MPS, again, balancing had had a good year in 2010, not as good as 2009. This was the absolute record year, so we had less revenue and for sure also some more price pressure as a result of the downturn, relatively downturn. But again, cleaning filtration was hit most in the crisis. We had -80% order entry there, -80, which we recovered very nicely last year. The order intake went back to a very high level. But we had to go through the year with first half year of a lot of under-absorption, and we took our measures, which also led to expenses, which were basically also on the gross margin at the end to find. But for 2011, we are optimistic about the development of this division.
Yeah, I might just add, in Q4, we had some restructuring costs in the cleaning and filtration systems business. So this shows in the MPS division, Measuring and Process Systems division, but they were offset actually by a reversal of restructuring expenses in the paint and assembly systems division earlier in the year. So net, it doesn't show in the overall P&L, but if you look at the individual divisions, then there has been a charge in the cleaning and filtration systems in Q4. And that was, one has to say, a burden in 2010, but we feel now that the path is clear for a successful development.
You could see another chart. We had 144 million order intake in that division in the fourth quarter alone, which is a very, very high number. So we are optimistic for 2011.
Okay, perfect. Then an additional question relating the financial income. Q4 was relatively better than in previous quarters. Is the reason behind the related equity income, or is it has it to do with the interest result? And the second point on this issue, you mentioned financial results to be lower by 4 to 5 million euros in 2011. After you decreased the guidance in November to an unchanged financial result, what has now changed? As a reason, is it a new syndicated loan you are discussing at the moment?
Okay, let me first give you an overview of the financial result over the next years. We had 18 million in 2009 and 21 in 2010. And from that base of 21, we expect an improvement by 4 to 5 million next year and maybe even a little bit more in the year after. And this is basically the interest expense for our bond, yeah, 7.25% times 225 million euros. And any bank fees, commitment fees, etc., are offset by interest income. So that's a simple calculation. We had not expected the same strong cash inflow in Q4 that we actually saw, which led to the fact that we didn't have any drawings from our bank loans in Q4 before actually receiving the proceeds from the second tranche of our bond issue. And that was why we had anticipated maybe a higher figure in the year 2010.
Okay, perfect. And regarding Q4, the only Q4, this good result, was it due to earnings from at equity interests or?
No, not that. But as I said, we didn't have any bank interest to pay because of the significant cash inflow between September and October and December.
Okay, perfect. Two quick follow-ups, please. Could you give us an update for the big ticket business? Or the other way around, how many of your Q4 orders are above 20 million? And the second is regarding the creation of the new Clean Technology Systems division. Is this an indication that you are just before completion of an acquisition?
Mr. Remit, can you just please repeat the first part of your question?
The first was the big ticket business. In the past, we saw already a chart how much of it depends on the lower volumes and the bigger tickets. So just to be...
I understand. We want to know how much depending we are on the big ticket orders and the ratio we showed in the past.
Yes, so to say the follow-up in Q4.
Yeah. I think we had round about 200 million big tickets of the whole... Small business out of the 542. 200 were small business.
Okay, thanks.
On the clean tech division, well, the 1st of January is always a good date to change reporting as opposed to in the middle of the year or any uneven date. But as we had been reporting in the past, we have been reviewing opportunities around our energy and environmental business. And so we have, over time, built up an acquisition pipeline. And we expect to do one or several deals over the course of 2011. But I wouldn't necessarily say that this is imminent and to be reported next week. Yeah.
Okay. Just one quick follow-up regarding clean tech. These 5% return on sales you mentioned before, this is meant EBIT margin?
Yes.
Okay. So, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Tom, do we have further questions?
We have one final question, sir.
Good.
Our next question comes from Christian Kors from Macquarie. Your line is open.
Hello, Christian Kors speaking here. A couple of questions from my side. First, if I remember correctly, in Beijing, there are approval restrictions for new cars. So is this something which could actually hurt your business in the emerging markets going forward? And do you expect that these type of measure is something which could be also implemented in other Chinese megacities? Then a question on beyond 2011, actually. You stated for next year you target 1.7 billion order intake. Adding this to the 1.6 billion order intake you had realized in 2010, is it fair to assume that then revenues in 2012 should be above 1.6 um, 1.6 billion. Is this a fair assumption? And Mr. Heuving, you in the past referred also a lot to the ROCE figure, and your ROCE improved already quite well in 2010. Do you stick to your midterm 20% ROCE target, or are you getting a bit more optimistic in the course of the business pickup? And maybe can you elaborate a bit on the timeline when you expect this 20% to materialize? Another question on the net working capital. What is midterm the net working capital in terms of sales figure, which we can calculate on, since your cash flow, especially in Q4 2010, was extremely good? And last but not least, on the acquisition side, what do you think is your financial firepower, giving your strength and balance sheet right now? And do you think you could also gain some financial support for M&A coming from potential divestments? I'm just thinking about, for instance, on your Shang technology part.
Okay, Mr. Kotz, Ralf Dieter speaking. I start. Your concern regarding this regulation in Beijing, where I think the quantity of cars has been regulated. In Beijing, per month, 20,000 cars are sold. By the total market volume of, in terms of passenger cars, 12 million, not significant. So that's nothing which would hinder anywhere this development. Second, at the same time, in Shanghai, which is also a city which seemed to be crowded with cars, you know, in China, when you buy a car, that's one thing you have to buy, but then you go to the registration office and you buy a number plate. And the number plate in Shanghai was last year €20,000 to buy a number plate. And it has been reduced to 5,000 in January. So in Shanghai, the incentive to buy a car has been is much higher now again. The number plate cost, by the way, depend on the size of the car. I'm talking about
average figure.
I'm talking about a medium luxury car. Let's say an E-Class or an 5 Series or an Audi A6, something like that. The other point is, when you look at where the new car plants are established, they are not in Shanghai, not in Beijing. They are outside in the west of the western part of China and the southern part, where they have all these many millions of people waiting to increase their income, as we lined out in some of the other charts. So the government is systematically now putting those plants into regions where the next megacities are basically start to grow and where the people want to buy cars. So Beijing has no impact at all.
Okay.
Your assumption of 1.7, we don't give guidance of 2012 today, yeah? But your calculation of 1.7 billion is a calculation which we can understand.
Okay.
Sorry, 1.6 sales, 1.7 order intake, we can follow, but this is too early. Yeah. And
ROCE, yes, I mean, you remember our targets correctly. They are 20-22% for that year, when we also will achieve an EBIT margin of 6%, because those figures correspond to each other, and that will be 2013 by our view today. Net working capital target is 20-25 days. This reflects basically that we had an exceptionally good fourth quarter last year, and that we have a prepayment overhang of 50 million. So 20 to 25 days is what you should expect in your models. And then in our M&A firepower, I would say 50 to 60 million euros for the foreseeable future. You know that we had raised the additional 75 million in the second bond issue, with that being one of the main purposes. So that for sure is available, and if necessary, also more.
Okay, and support on the M&A financial firepower coming from a potential divestment of Shenk. Is this something, Shenk Technology Park? Is this something which you also have on the horizon? Because I mean, looking on your businesses, this looks really non-core.
Yeah, not at the moment.
No.
It's not core. That's correct.
But it's profitable.
But it's profitable, and the situation of the real estate markets, I think, still holds some upside potential.
Okay. If I may, just one follow-up. Raw material prices. Is this something, is this an issue for you? Is this a source of potential headwind, or is this nothing where you can get concerned about?
First of all, you're right. The material prices are increasing for new orders. For let's say where we are in the proposal stage, those prices are included and also transparent and also understood by our customers. So this is only an issue where we have, let's say, got an order recently, and we have always a 3-4 months delay when we start with placing the order to suppliers. Most of the materials we have a frame contract, so we are quite safe. But it's, let's say, it's an issue where we are where we look very closely to, but it's not a major headwind, but it's a concern.
Part of our risk management to review exposures and make sure that proposal figures are reflecting the recent data.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tom, we are at the end, I think.
We have no further questions at this point, sir.
Great. Then I would like to say again, thank you very much for attending this call today. And when is the next call? I think that's after the Q1 results?
Q1 results.
Yeah. Okay, then we see latest, or hear us latest at the next call. It's maybe that we do an analyst conference.
An investor's day
in May or June. We will tell you in advance, and we would appreciate then your attendance to get more insights. Thank you very much for today. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.